Welcome back. I say it three times. It's like the song on
the
TV show.
I'm amped up today, Billy.
Oh, you are. Would you take some like pre-workout before coming in here?
No, I'm just, it's Tuesday.
Yeah, good weekend. Did you have a good weekend in Dallas?
D-Town was boogieing.
We didn't intersect.
See, that's my positive nature to kind of counterbalance our worst performance so far this year. But we'll get into that. That's okay. Yeah. We got the W.
Exactly.
And that is all that matters in the end.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of y'all's game at South Carolina your year. You know, like,
actually, you're right. It was a little bit
different.
They
kind of came back at the end. You guys controlled it throughout, but you never could really get that.
They scored the very first play from scrimmage from like 75 out, and then we went down, scored right away, and then we didn't do much the rest of the game.
But you guys moved the ball. Travion had a ton of yards. You were running it. It just never quite where you could get that distance, and then you looked up, and it's like, oh, they're going into panic mode. They're just slinging it around now, and they're hitting a couple passes. Next thing you know, they're in the end zone. You're like, oh, we got to get.
And luckily, they were bad enough, similar to Arkansas.
Yeah,
both bad enough that it didn't end up making a difference in the end.
Yeah,
but let's recap the Aggs this week. What were your thoughts? You were at the game. I was at the game. I enjoyed Jerry World.
I
had
too.
A great time. A little bit of rain on the way in, but then we were inside, so it's fantastic.
I think we're in the minority there. I like it. I like watching a game there. I like, and maybe it's because I can't see anything, so I could watch. I don't have to go back and rewatch a game because I could watch every player again right after it happens.
Yep.
But I like the tailgating before it, even though I can't really partake. I can't be down there on the field.
Oh,
drinking.
See, that's where me and you were a little different.
Yeah, I mean.
Great parking pass, right close to the stadium. Had, you know, a lot of buddies there. We had
it
a great time.
Fun.
Walked right in. I was able to walk out and get some delicious barbecue during the game.
And I'm a fan of a weekend in Dallas in the middle of the season.
Absolutely.
If you're young like you and I, if you're young especially, if you're me, if you're young and or single, you can't beat a weekend in Dallas in the middle of the season grind. Look, upcoming – at South Carolina, at Mississippi State, at Auburn. It's a grind the rest of this way. And it's been a grind, Trevor, for the Aggies, Clemson and Alabama in the first month. And they wrapped up September in what I was nervous. I thought it was a trap game. Not maybe that A&M would lose, although I did think you just have to watch out. Arkansas made a huge improvement the week before against Auburn.
They did.
And it was between Bama and a big SEC home game. You've been a 21-point favorite before. It's hard for the whole group, and then you go in there and you jump all over them kind of with ease.
Mm-hmm.
You could almost feel that letdown coming, even though I know that's unacceptable and all, but that's why the game worried me. You had Chad Morris, you had John Chavis, you had Rakeem Boyd. You had a locker room of dudes that have been losing to them since you were playing. They want that was their Super Bowl.
It was.
And it was, and you were a 21-point favorite coming off Bama. It was set up for a letdown.
I agree. But here's the thing. We got the win.
Yeah.
And that's what matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trap game, everything that you just said, we got out of there with the win, which is big time. But we still didn't play good football at all.
No.
I mean, that was the first time I saw us take a pretty significant step backwards.
Yeah.
And that happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, if everybody knew the formula to get better each and every week, you'd win national championships every year. You'd win conference championships every year.
Yeah.
You'd look like Bama does every week. I get that. But at several key positions, I thought we took a step back. As a team, I thought we took a step back. Our coach is under scrutiny, which I'm going to get into because I just think it's baloney.
Me too.
But, yeah, it was just a sloppy game all the way around. You know, let's start with kind of the offensive side of the ball, if you don't mind.
Let's go.
So we got the win, 24-17. Not 21 points, but got the win.
And they were close. You make those two field goals and you're at – you make those two field goals and you go down and score to start the third quarter when you got the ball. That game's over.
Absolutely.
Or make that one at the end of the half, go down and score again, it's over. But you're right. They just never could put them away because of their own mistakes.
Well, we obviously scored on the opening kick, and then we scored the first offensive drive of the game, and didn't score another touchdown until 5:03 left in the game.
Yeah,
that's concerning there in the middle part of the game. I know we, you know, at the quarterback position, we didn't have our best performance.
No.
17-26, 201 yards, the two interceptions. What?
Yeah, it wasn't like the numbers weren't that bad. It was the two picks.
Two picks, and then, you know, we talked about
three sacks.
Three sacks, and then, you know, the running side of Kellen that could be a, you know, a big thing moving forward for the offense. I think he only had 20 yards maybe rushing. So not his best performance, but again, found a way to get the win, and that's all that matters in the end. Who did have a big day was Trevion.
Yeah.
Not any massive big-time runs, but just pound the rock. Here, let's get six, seven,
gotta give a little credit, and they still have to get a lot better. I want to give a little credit to the A&M O-line there. There were plays where I'd see a guy miss a block where Trevion might have had that long run you're talking about. They weren't perfect. I don't know how many of those three sacks were on them. I know at least one of them wasn't, and it was kind of like either a coverage or Kellen should have gotten rid of it. But they got better. The competition level wasn't Bama or Clemson, and what'd they do? They ran for 200 yards gained against a defense that led the SEC in rushing at 85 a game.
Right.
They ran the ball well. Here's what I like. I'd like the explosive runs too. But out of 29 Trevion Williams runs, one of them resulted in a one-yard loss. That's it.
He was pounding
the rock. I like
that,
yeah.
That was awesome.
And defense, they stopped
the
run.
Flip side of it. Yeah, my goodness, 55 yards. That's the key to success.
Trevor, this is a thing now, right? I mean, I know they're going to get tested this weekend. We really need to go. We're going to get good, a quick transition. We'll talk the face mask thing and then Kentucky because that's a big game.
Absolutely.
But 55 yards against Arkansas, 105 against Bama, 115 against Clemson. This team stops the run, and they're really strong up front, and they started to get some pressure on the quarterback.
And it's not an anomaly anymore. We've done it for 5 weeks now.
Yeah.
That is who we are as a defense. Yeah. We are fantastic at stopping the run. We let a few too many yards go in the air.
Yeah.
Now, that's, you know, we'll get into it in a minute, but that's going to play to our strength this week as far as the matchup goes with Kentucky. But let's just – a couple hot topics I want to touch real quick.
Let's hit them.
We talked a ton about it last week, and then the nightmare of Clemson happened
later. Let's save that one for Thursday.
Okay.
We're going to talk
We'll talk about it later, but that's a nightmare.
That's a nightmare.
That is a nightmare situation.
No doubt.
But let's keep it in our game. Jimbo and the face mask situation.
Yeah.
I was just watching Outside the Lines just a little while ago, and they are, should coaches be able to touch players? I'm sorry. I'm over this whole thing.
Yeah.
It is, unfortunately, and this could sound super political, but this is the identity of our country now.
No, it is.
It's not political.
It's
step
real.
On my toes. It is football.
Yeah.
It's a physical, tough game. And these guys' emotions are high. Jimbo even said, hey, his emotions were high. I was trying to get him back down to earth. They have unbelievable respect in each other. That's the captain of the defense and your head coach. He didn't do anything malicious. The kid's wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
He was getting
that
back in gear.
No one ever acknowledged that he's wearing a helmet. That's about the same as grabbing by the shoulder pads and shake. Trevor, you're a guy that – you're like Tyrell. You're a coach's dream. As a player, you work hard, you're a leader, you do everything right, you're in class, you're doing – Dotson's the same way. I can't tell you how many times Dotson will come up and tell me that he you know, got on the honor roll or, you know, whatever he did academically. I've never had a player come up to me as much as he does tell me what he's doing in the classroom. He's been doing that since he got here. You guys – so y'all are, I think, similar, right, as far as character guys. If Jimbo Fisher or Bob Stoops or Sumlin or anybody would have grabbed your face mask and got in your face, would it have affected you after that immediate instant?
Absolutely
and
cry not.
About it?
No. If anything, I think it's a positive thing.
Yeah.
I think it shows a sign of respect between those two men. This isn't some coach and some little kid. This isn't a first grade classroom.
Yeah.
Where a male teacher is putting his hands on a female little student, you know? Yeah. That's completely different. This is two grown men at battle in a really high emotional part of the game. One gets out of control and one brings them back down to earth. I don't see a problem with it at all. And the fact that it's even in the media, I think, is just absolutely ridiculous. I
tell you, society. Man, I've had coaches grab my face. I mean, I don't know what they've done. Nothing bad, but stuff like that all the time. And talk to you.
It's just the way everything's going. Talk to you in a way.
I think it was grade, where the teacher came up, and it was elementary school, and she literally grabbed me by the neck. And, you know, I went home and was, like, laughing about as a fourth grader, like, laughing about it to my dad and my mom. And they're, like, laughing. I'm like, well, what'd you do? I know society's changing. Now, that would be all over Twitter. But I turned out all right. I wasn't scarred by it.
You're an all right guy.
I know. I mean, you know, but.
And I get it. I mean, I know I'm flirting a line right now politically and everything. But
it's not.
It's football. It's a head coach and it's two men. I mean, I just think
my bigger issue is what you're walking up to is it's not. We don't have the issue with what happened. Our issue is with the reaction to it.
Yes.
And I said it before. Everyone wants their pound of flesh, everyone wants their. You know, that everyone wants to go and find who was wrong here and who needs to be punished or apologized or fired or, you know, humiliated. Like in Game of Thrones where they make the lady walk, Cersei has to walk naked through the town square and they're throwing stuff at her as she walks through. You know, like that's – people want that now and I don't get it, especially when it has nothing to do with you or your team or your son or your friend or your anything, your university. Like these people, they're just sitting there in like Washington, D.C. and California or New York or Austin or anywhere. They're just like – at least if it's a Longhorn fan making a big deal of it, at least I know your agenda.
Right.
But the national media people, they should be ashamed of themselves.
I agree.
For the way they're acting with some of this. And some of the ones I consider friends, I think it's embarrassing at this point.
Well, people want to listen to that stuff for whatever reason. People are attracted to it. People want to try and pick out, can I turn this into a bigger story?
Stephen A., Skip Bayless, Colin Coward, they're all famous for it.
But there's a line that can't be crossed. It's okay to poke and prod and kind of pull things out, but when it comes to something like that, I'm just not on board with it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. We got a big one, Trevor. We got a big game this weekend with Kentucky. Unexpected big game at Kyle Field. You and I wouldn't have circled this before the season. No one would. In fact, I'll be honest. I had it as one. Okay, A&M's going to need to beat Kentucky, Arkansas, and Ole Miss. Those are the ones they need to win. You got to beat Kentucky and Ole Miss. Well, all of a sudden, here come the Wildcats. Number 13, undefeated. They won at Florida. They beat Mississippi State by 3 touchdowns. They beat South Carolina by 2 touchdowns. What do you see when you see this football team?
I see a team that has unbelievable confidence. And I think it's really cool what Mark Stoops has done there over his – I think he's been there 5 years now.
I think this is six.
Six, yeah. Buying into the system. And now they're finally – it's coming to fruition right now.
Yeah.
I'm with you. If you would have told me that I'm more concerned about Kentucky coming the week after Arkansas, I would have told you that you were crazy.
Yeah.
5-0, here they come. But – they got to come to Kyle Field. They got to come to a team that is playing good football. Sloppy this past week.
Yeah.
But Texas A&M Aggies are going to get after it this week. Here's what kind of I think my keys to the game are.
Okay.
If you don't mind me starting
there. Let's hit them. Let's get this going. We haven't
Kentucky doesn't
caught Kentucky yet.
Kentucky doesn't have a good quarterback. He's thrown 2 touchdowns all year in the air, 5 interceptions. That's pretty awful.
He's a runner,
but I think he only has 3 touchdowns on the ground. Mm-hmm. Now I get he's a big part of their offense and mixing things up.
Yeah.
But what did we say earlier? The strength of our defense right now is stopping the run, which is what we're going to have to do with Barry Snell Jr. He is kind of the identity of their offense. He's got 8 TDs on the ground this year.
He's a stud.
130-something
yards per game on the ground.
He's an absolute stud, but that plays to our strengths.
It does.
So if we can keep the ball on the ground and keep playing like we have in our front 7 and even, you know, coming down and filling holes at the safety position, I think we're going to be just fine on that side of the ball.
What I think this is, I think this game comes down to one thing in my mind. It's actually – how well can Texas A&M run the football? Because I think Kellen will play better. But this is a Kentucky defense with a great, not a good, a great pass rusher in Josh Allen off the edge. He might be the best in the SEC. Six sacks already this year. It's a matchup problem for A&M. He's on, like, if Dan Moore has struggled with this type of guy so far. If you're not in a lot of third and longs, then I think A&M and Kellen will have a good game, and Kellen will be able to throw the football. He's played really well at home. I think he'll do it again Saturday.
I agree.
If they can run the ball, all this time of possession and why they controlled that game, A&M leads the SEC in time of possession. And here's what else, they're second in getting off the field on third down on defense. Those two things tie together. If A&M can run the football, then Kentucky won't have as many chances to get Benny Snell going. And I think A&M can beat Kentucky in much the same way Kentucky's beat other teams so far.
I agree.
I think they're kind of their A&M could end up being like their kryptonite in that regard. If the Aggies can run the football, that is an if.
And I know you were on the South Carolina bandwagon that they were going to be second in the SEC East behind Georgia. I never was there, but they still haven't played a team like us. I
remember you were on Missouri.
No, at the beginning of the year, I was a Team Vandy.
Oh, you were. That's who it was. I knew it was a black and yellow.
They're still not playing terrible. I mean, they're not going to end up number two, but I definitely didn't have South Carolina there. That's kind of been Kentucky's biggest match. I mean, they played Florida, but Florida wasn't playing well. And I know that was a big emotional game. So that is a big one. But
they got a lot for beating Mississippi State. And look at State the last 2 weeks.
Bad football.
14 point or 17 points combined in two games. That's a square peg round hole thing going on.
I agree. But I think where Kentucky has found themselves to be successful as their defense. Their defense is only allowing 12.6 points per game. So that's where another key to my game, like you just said, we got to be able to run the football. We got to be able to put up points, which I don't think we're going to have any problem doing. I don't think Kellen, with how well he played weeks one through four, I don't think he goes back-to-back weeks with kind of a down
week.
This is nothing against Kellen. People were already asking me, well, do you think we give Nick a shot?
I got that text during the game.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Yep. Kellen has played phenomenal. This is his team. He got a win this week.
Made some big throws in the fourth quarter. That's the problem, though.
Everybody wants to do this QB carousel. You can't put a guy down or bench him or make him lose his confidence after one subpar performance. Yeah. If you did that to Tom Brady, Tom Brady wouldn't be Tom Brady.
You do, and you don't do it when the guy's clearly doing this. If it's this, it's still this. Like,
oh,
I mean,
that happens.
You're a quarterback. Imagine, maybe you've been in this situation. I don't remember, like, at OU with the stuff with Blake Bell or what. I mean, what does it do to you if you're looking – now, and the good news is this is not what's happening at A&M. Right. No matter what, like, Jimbo Fisher's made his decision, and Kellen, like you said, has been playing well. But to even open up that door, what does it do for a young quarterback?
Even if in your mind a million times when you lay your head down every single night, hey, I'm the guy. They believe in me. They believe in me. They believe in me. When you get out on the field, it's a subconscious, uh-oh, but they believe in me now. If I make a mistake or I make a bad throw or have a bad game, then what's going to happen? You're always doing this whole deal.
Yeah.
And you can't play your best football that way. So
the good thing is we're not seeing that. And I don't think we will.
But just the idea of it, up from people, it just kind of rubbed me wrong.
And I'm with you. I think he has a big game. It rubbed me wrong, too. I actually came on here yesterday morning, and went on a little bit of a rant about it because I think he'll be the best quarterback on the field this week, next week when they play Mississippi State. If Fitzgerald's still the guy, he's going to be the best quarterback on the field, you know, right up until they play Auburn, and that'll be an interesting one because Jarrett Stidham is he's up and down right now. It hasn't been a great year for him.
My guy, too, yeah. Man.
I mean, I think he's good. I just never quite trusted him, but it's in that offense. It's in that we'll talk a lot of Auburn later on, but this Kentucky game, where do you see it as we wrap up this week? Where do you see it go? I like the matchup, but here's my one thing I'll say. you're going to watch it. You're going to see it Saturday. I don't know if you've watched them a lot. They're a dirty football team.
They are. They're physical.
They're physical, which I love. They're nasty, which I love. They're dirty, which I'm like, deal with it. I mean, that Mississippi State had like 16 penalties for 100, and I forget if it's 130, 140, 180 yards, something insane. South Carolina had 11. They goad you into responding. They take you out of your game. I don't hate it, but A&M is going to have to play composed, and this is, I think, the nastiest, most physical team they're going to have played, with the exception of the Alabama front seven.
Oh, of course.
But as far as a four-quarter game, A&M is going to have to come ready for a fight.
Here's why that doesn't scare me. That doesn't scare me at all, because I know as a player, we had our first couple games at home.
Yeah.
We go on the road. We have a neutral site. There's something about – I'm getting over here. I'm getting chills right now. There's something about coming back home for the first time after you started the season that gets you fired up.
Okay.
Our guys are going to be ready to go in Kyle Field. I hope it's right. It's a big game. It's not some, you know, it's not directional
Louisiana. The best thing that could have happened was them beating South Carolina.
Kyle Field's going to be rocking. First time back, man, it's going to be a sweet atmosphere. We're going to be ready to go. I'm not worried about it at all. I have us winning by 17 points.
Oh, wow. See, I think it's going to be a lot closer game. I think A&M wins this one late. And I'm actually going to go with a Seth Small field goal to win it 27-24 A&M, maybe 24-21.
Okay.
Wow. But I like A&M to win. And if it's not that, I like the Aggies to win by a touchdown. I mean, I think maybe it's a touchdown with 5 minutes to go and they get a stop after that. But I think it's going to come down four-quarter game there in the end, you know, towards the end. But I think
I'm sticking
with
my gun. 17 points. You heard it here first.
What a big win it will be if they can get it to Trevor. At home, you're going to have all these recruits back. Sold out Kyle Field, Saturday night, ESPN. You have a chance to knock off an undefeated team at home, at night, in front of all the prospects, a lot of whom were there a few weeks ago and watched you take Clemson to the wire. It is the type of game that will carry you a long way in recruiting. It's a great opportunity for Jimbo in this program. Trevor, you were a part of the last big win at Kyle Field. It's crazy. I know you guys beat UCLA and they were ranked, but as far as a big win, beating Tennessee, some people try to trivialize that. I'm like, that was College Game Day, two undefeated teams
and
at midseason.
What they had done the couple weeks before
the
with
Hail
these
Marys.
Hail Marys and everything. Yeah, it was a big
that
one.
Was a big win. That's the only big win A&M's had at home since they joined the SEC. That's crazy because we're in year seven and we're naming one game. Mm-hmm. And that was the one. I think this one will be bigger, even though Tennessee was ranked higher at the time. And the only reason I say it is this. That was towards the end of Sumlin's tenure. It was kind of like, hey, you have to get this one or it's going to be trouble. This instance, this is like, this could be the one that kickstarts it all. Good. And who knew that it would have come against
Kentucky.
A basketball school,
right.
Big Blue Nation,
right?
But it's an opportunity, so we'll see how it goes. I think me and you both feel we're kind of on the same page. I think you'd like it to be a little more one-sided. I hope you are right, my friend.
I hope I am, too.
And we'll be back Thursday. We're going to have a couple of really fun guests, so we'll be back to talk around college football and everything else on Thursday, and we'll probably have the Big Truth back in with us next week.
Bring him in.
Bring him on in.
Let's do it.
Talk to you Thursday, guys. All right.